2025 is here, and the pace of change has never been faster. Are you ready to thrive in a world where AI accelerates everything but can't replace the most essential human skills? That's why we've created a special 11-part series on the Learn It All podcast to help you master the skills needed to future-proof yourself and your career. From self-awareness to listening and developing trust, these are the traits that will make you irreplaceable in an ever-evolving workforce. I'm Damon Lemby, CEO of Learn It and two-time best-selling author, and I'll be your guide throughout the series. Joining me is Dr. Mickey Fitzcollins, Learn-It's top-ranked facilitator and a leadership expert dedicated to helping you grow. This series is brought to you in partnership with our good friends at MuchSkills, a platform that helps organizations map and understand their workforce capabilities. Drawing from insight from their survey of over 28,000 professionals, we'll unpack 11 skills in this weekly series that will prepare you to thrive in an ever-evolving world. If you enjoy this episode, please take a moment to rate and review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us share this message far and wide. Let's dive into today's top skill. Mickey, how are you doing? I'm so pumped up to have you back for another episode.
Awesome. Thanks, Damon. I'm super excited to be here. You know, this has been so much fun having these conversations, and I can't wait to dig into authentic leadership today.
Yeah. So it's one of my favorite topics, and I think it's critical for leaders to do their very best to be authentic. So let's just jump right into it. Define for me what authentic leadership is.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different components that fall into this or fall under the umbrella of authentic leadership. But what we're really talking about, Damon, is leadership that's grounded in transparency, ethics, integrity. And the big one here is emotional intelligence, right? Just kind of this idea of self-awareness and self-management. It actually makes me think a lot about your book, right? The Learn It All Leader, and the difference between I've read your writing about this and heard you speak about the difference between people who act like know-it-alls and people who act like learn-it-alls, right? Learn-it-alls are authentic leaders. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is this transparency, openness, integrity, things of that sort.
Well, thank you for the plug, Mickey. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. So, you know, let's just stay on that. What's the danger of being a know-it-all leader, you know, and or not authentic? If you take that approach, what's dangers in it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, when I first heard you speak that term and kind of bring that into my awareness, it just made me think about ego, right? Like leaders that lead from a place of ego, their own stature, you know, their own gains, all of this sort of stuff, which is an easy place, I think, for a lot of us to be, right? Is, well, I've done all of these things. I have all these accolades, many years experience, all of this sort of stuff. But the problem with that, if we're not really operating from a place of authentic leadership, is there's a lot of negative kind of what I would say like cascade effects with our teams. The first and foremost, and probably the most primary one here, is a massive, massive decrease in trust, right? Because there's just a huge amount of distance between you as the leader and your team if you're operating from this place of know-it-all and inauthenticity, right? When we think about that across the individual, across teams, we're talking about low morale. We're talking about people operating in fear or from a place of fear, right? Because they're fearful of their leader. They're fearful of making mistakes, a lack of psychological safety, which leads to things like burnout, disengagement, and ultimately turnover, which, I mean, you and I every single day are talking with organizations and leaders across the country, across the world, really, about the importance of retaining and building the skills of our people, right? So being an inauthentic leader really is the exact opposite of what we want to be in order to have the most satisfied and engaged and retained workforce.
And I'm thinking again about know-it-all. And the reason why I say a know-it-all is inauthentic, because a know-it-all says they know-it-all, which you and I know isn't possible. You can't know-it-all. So that's not true. So let's just jump right in now again. And you got a great story on in your experience?
You know it. I always have stories for you, Damon. Yeah, I think this is really kind of a story about feedback. And, you know, a few years ago, I was in an organization. I came in as a new director. And I was, you know, as one is, brand new employee coming in as the leader. I was eager to make a really positive impact, but I was aware this is a new team to me. I have a lot to learn around the team dynamics. And rather than diving straight into, okay, let's do these changes, let's do these things, checklist, da, 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 I decided my first priority, because I wanted to be focused in on being an authentic leader, was to really get to know the people and understand their perspectives, right? Really get to know. I had folks that were in that department that were there for 20 plus years, right? Kind of in their roles. And so in my first few weeks, I scheduled one-on-ones with each member of the team. And I asked questions, really broad sort of things, right? Kind of opening myself. It took a lot of vulnerability, Damon, but asking questions like, what do you feel is working well in our department? What areas do you think need improvement? What are your biggest pieces of advice for me? What are the potholes that we need to watch out for? And I inquired about these questions, but also people's personal and professional goals and kind of how can I support them? And one of the people on the team mentioned that, you know, communication in our department is really siloed. The previous leader was a huge micromanager. There was a lot of duplicated efforts. People were really fearful. Essentially, what she was talking about was a lack of psychological safety and fearfulness of the previous supervisor, right? Another person shared, I feel really underutilized and I don't feel like I can come to supervisors as people that can really actually help me grow, right? And another person talked about a lack of transparency, right? So I took all of this stuff, and to me, these are like the main ingredients of being this authentic leader. And so I took all of this stuff, and what I did was I pulled the team back together and I said, listen, let me anonymize all this stuff, but here's what I learned. Here's the different pieces. And it came down to, here's the action steps that I'm going to take. On a daily basis, I started every single day, I had a post-it note on my monitor that said, be vulnerable, right? And so every single day it was vulnerable to, what do I not know? What do I not know enough of? What type of guidance do I need to seek from my team members? All of these sort of things. And I approached every single day with that idea of kind of leading with that transparency, leading with that openness, the vulnerability to say, I don't know, or I think I made a mistake, right? The number of times I had to come to these folks that had been in the role for 20 plus years and be like, I know I'm your boss, but I think I made a mistake and I need your help, right? What that did was this cultivated this environment of a high level of trust, personal connection, right? Morale went up. People immediately were talking about feeling pride in their work, feeling like they were part of the decision-making process, feeling like there was positive hope for the future. And it was such a great example of really turning around a group of people that had previously experienced somebody who was very inauthentic in their leadership. And so I share that story with you, Damon, because I think it's such a powerful real life example of what happens when we take those steps as leaders to really kind of open ourselves up, of the positive changes that we can have for the team, which then result in these huge positive changes for the overall organization.
No, that's a great story. And one thing that really stuck with me there is around vulnerability. And so my question, Mickey, is how can leaders overcome the fear of being vulnerable while still maintaining, you know, a level of authority and presence?
Yeah. I think, you know, when I hear you ask that question, it's about boundaries, right? Everybody, I mean, when we think about our personal lives and our professional lives, we need to have boundaries, and we don't want to sidestep around them or tiptoe around them, right? And so I think naming vulnerability, I named that as a value for me in that role. And from that point forward, I was like, this is going to be part of who I am, which is that people are going to, you know, get what they see what they get. And that means at times I'm going to need to show people that I'm struggling. I'm going to need to show people that I make mistakes, because we're human, right? We're fallible leaders, right? Even though we're the people in charge, it doesn't mean that we know everything. It doesn't mean that we're doing everything 100% right. But with that, when you bring into that equation, you can be vulnerable and be a person of authority to say, this is how decisions are going to be made. This is how the structure is going to work. These are what the goals are. These are the KPIs, right? That level of transparency is just as important as the transparency in our everyday interactions, right? So it's a both and, really. It's not a one or the other. I think a lot of times people say, how do I have authority or do I be vulnerable, right? You can do both of those things. But to me, I think a lot of it is about saying it out loud to people of, I am going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be a real person with you. And I am the person who's going to be holding accountability. I am the person who's going to be working with you to set the goals and set the metrics.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I look at it like it's important to be vulnerable, but maintain confidence. Because, you know, people want to follow a leader who they believe, you know, has their back and has the strength to overcome challenges Now, you don't have to have all the answers, right? But you need to know people to turn to and you know, dust yourself off if things don't go well. So it's fine, and it's you have to admit mistakes or just say, hey, I don't know. But you also want to lead people by saying, we're going to figure this out, and be confident about
right.
that. And if you do that, that builds trust in people saying, hey, this person's open, and this person's also willing to say that we're going to get this done and we're going to figure it out. So, Mickey, what are the key steps a leader can take to master authentic leadership?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is exactly kind of leading us right into, I have kind of four different things, four different buckets, I would say, that are the super important pieces of being an authentic leader. The first one and the most important one is emotional intelligence. And what's awesome about this is I just facilitated both of our emotional intelligence workshops this week. And so it's so fresh in my mind. And every time I facilitate these workshops, it really reminds me of the importance of understanding myself, right? I think as leaders, it's, you know, some we get so focused on this is what I need to do for these other people, for the organization, for our customers, clients, all this outward sort of stuff. But we have to start first with our own self-awareness. We have to start first with understanding our emotions. We have to manage those emotions and then develop the skills of empathy to be able to understand other people's perspectives and then thus build our relationships and cultivate and sustain those relationships. So the very first important thing, you know, I think especially in the last 5 to 10 years, I feel like everybody's talking about emotional intelligence. I always say it's in the top 5, if not the top 3 of skills that I think people need to really, really dig deep and develop. So emotional intelligence absolutely would be the first piece for becoming an authentic leader. The second piece, and I was introduced to this term not too long ago, and it makes so much sense, relational transparency. And what I mean by that is relational transparency is kind of the openness, the transparency, but in relationships, in terms of being a supervisor. And so what I'm talking about with this is involved decision-making. We talk about this in a couple of our different workshops, from our decision-making workshop to a couple of different ones, about letting people know, what are the factors that are going into making a decision? How are we going to make the decision, right? Sometimes it might be you as the CEO of the organization, you're going to make the leader, the decision. Other times it might be we're going to have a vote, right? Other times maybe we defer to the subject matter in the room. But maybe, you know, people need to understand how a decision is going to be made. And then when that decision is made, how are we going to be kind of made aware of the progress on that? I think that, you know, this idea of relational transparency is also about progress updating, about letting people know the state of affairs, right? You know, how are things going in the organization? Where are we successful? Where are we having troubles? Because if we don't hear from our leaders, we fill in the gaps, right? Like that's one of the things that we do as humans is we kind of fill in the gaps where we don't see information, right? Progress, profits, whatever it might be. I think also that relational transparency has a lot to do with that vulnerability of sharing, I made a mistake, we had a misstep, this didn't quite work out the way that we wanted it to. That builds trust, right? Even though you're delivering bad news, what that does, that's a huge deposit in the trust bank. So, I mean, that's a huge component to authentic leadership. So that second piece, relational transparency. The third one, and I know that this is a huge one to you, is living your values and kind of operating with integrity. Making decisions that are aligned with your values, even when they're hard decisions to make, whether that's about letting somebody go, stopping pursuing a certain venture or a certain product line, or pivoting when it feels uncomfortable, whatever that is, right? Living values and making sure that you're aligned with those values and not just chasing after what's shiny, right? I think that's a super important part of authentic leadership. And then the fourth one, circles back to the decision-making, which is balanced decision-making. And I know you and Candace Porter, you know, you have your fantastic book on decision-making, and I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point too. But the importance of not making snap decisions or emotional decisions, right? I think authentic leaders are the ones that say, I'm struggling right now. There's a lot of information that I need to take in. There's a lot of different factors that we need to look at. And I'm not making this snap decision from a place of emotion, from a place of frustration, from a place of ego, but really, you know, seeking and giving feedback around big decisions. So those are the four big pieces to me. When I think about being an authentic leader, that's where it's at. Those are the core ingredients.
That's awesome, Mickey. Now, I'm going to start kind of reflect back on what you said. So starting with number one, and we don't have to go through all four of them, but you talked about emotions. And that reminded me, I had listeners, you should go back and check out my episode with Craig Dowden. It's going to be in the show notes. He brought up a great point. He says that his definition of authentic leadership is when your beliefs, values, and behaviors align with each other. And what happens sometimes is if you lose control of your emotions, all that your team members or other individuals see are your behaviors. So if you go to number three in your list, values, well, you could talk about your beliefs and values, but if you're not walking the walk, if you're showing something else, then people aren't going to trust you. So I think that is so critical that keep in mind that people see your behaviors. So you got to be able to monitor your emotions. It's okay to be upset, but it's how you go about things. And then number two, we talked about the gap in transparency, and that is critical. And because leaders, if you're not sharing, I got a question for you on this. If you're not sharing with your team, people are going to get, they're going to make things up in their own head, right? So, and a lot of times they're going to take it to the worst case scenario. So the best thing you could do is you can address things early and you share the facts. And again, you could even do so with confidence. So you want to kind of close that gap. But my question for you, Mickey, around number two, is there ever a point where you could be too transparent?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that's where it comes back to boundaries, right? Ultimately, and again, depending on your organization, a lot of this has to do with the culture of your organization. But, there is a point, I mean, TMI, right? Too much information, where whether it's you're sharing good news or sharing bad news, sometimes getting into the minutiae of that news is not actually helpful to the team, right? Because it's either overwhelming, it's too much, it's things that people don't understand, or it's things that, I'm just not privy to that level of decision-making or strategy. So when you share some of this stuff, I don't really understand what it means. And so I just kind of cast it aside and I say, that's not important. I think the other side of it too, that I've experienced in leaders and in peers before too, is oversharing in terms of transparency of personal life, right? We need to have some level of boundary. I think people want to, it makes us feel closer when we know stuff about, each other as individuals. And I think that's really important, right? To kind of bring your whole self to work. You don't leave your personal life at the door. That's just not really a real life thing. People talk about work-life balance. It's really more about work-life integration. But if we go too far, right? And we're especially in the position of power that we are as codified leaders in organizations, you're bringing people into your personal world where maybe they don't feel like they are invited or they want to be, right? And so I think sometimes you can go a little too far with that. Yeah.
Great answer. Yes, we definitely want people to bring their true self to the, their full self to the office. But also, you got to be mindful of what you are, making sure that it's professional. You don't want to show up with flip-flops and if that's not the right environment and talking about things that might upset people. So just be mindful of it and come to the be as authentic as possible. I think that's great. Well, what else? I mean, there's values, which is so important, right? I mean, that's so important. And one of the things that always stands out for me, especially when you're working with customers, is if they're coming up with a solution that they think is best for them, but we know that there's a solution that's maybe less expensive or fits better for them. I demand the sales team, like, you got to do right by your customer, right? And to me, that's the importance of values.
Yeah, I mean, I think valuing the relationship above all else, I think is so critical with authentic leaders. There are organizations that value the profit amongst, above all else, that they value the position in the marketplace. But I think when you're talking about valuing the relationship, I mean, it makes me think a lot about, our friends Larry Levine and Meredith Bell talking about character, talking about trust. The importance of the relationship, you may, the sale that you make or whatever it might be a little bit lower right now, but the long-term return on that investment, when you truly have a partner. Absolutely. With somebody, way above and beyond what an initial sale might be, right? And I think about you transfer that over into your personal life too, right? Of, you know, I might have a big win with, oh, I met this person and they're so cool and they have this big high stature in my community or this organization I'm part of. And I had this one amazing interaction with them. Well, what's one interaction as opposed to a friendship that you cultivate over time, a relationship that you cultivate over time? Authentic leaders are far more focused on the relationship than they are about the immediacy of short-term outcomes. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Damon, I'd like to ask you a question because I'm always curious about your world and your background, you know, having been CEO of Learn It for almost 30 years now, right?
We're
knocking on the door 30 years pretty soon here, which is amazing because, you know, I mean, you're only 25, so I don't even know how this happened. But, you know, I'm wondering how have you developed your style as an authentic leader over the years? Kind of what are some of the things maybe you feel like you've changed over the years or kind of bumps and bruises that you've experienced around authentic leadership?
Well, I've experienced bumps and bruises of all kinds. And I think all leaders have. And if they say they haven't, then they're not being, I don't think, honest. My authentic leadership style really was developed from the coaches I saw, you know, that I played for. I mean, they were pretty no filter, right to the point, and they would show up and as themselves, which is fantastic. Also, my dad, you know, he was another no filter. He wasn't afraid to say that he didn't know something, and so I had a lot of great role models in that sense. Now, some of the mistakes I've made over the years, I think sometimes it would come down to transparency. I mean, I remember probably 10 years ago, somebody actually came to me asking for a raise. And I said, you got to be kidding. You know, first of all, you got a raise probably 6-7 months ago. But on top of that, haven't you seen our sales numbers lately? You know, our numbers are way down. And they said, no, I had no idea. I wasn't aware of this. And so that struck me. I was like, okay, I'm not doing a good enough job being transparent and sharing out where things are at. And because of that, in this particular case, the person was looking at it like, oh, we must be doing great. I'm busy teaching all the time, so things must be fantastic. And
right.
Mickey, what I would say about that is sometimes, I mean, I wasn't doing that to hide anything. It's just sometimes you get so busy as a leader and you just forget. And you also maybe forget that people aren't as dialed in as you are, or the sales team is, or the executive team. So it's important to communicate, you know, often and in through different avenues. And so that is something there's also been times, I think I'm much better at this, hopefully not in your tenure, but there are times where I would get upset and send an email that I wish I could take back, maybe would be a little frustrated. You know, and been a little frustrated on things. And it goes back to what Craig Dowden said is people look at your behaviors. And that regardless of what you say your values or your beliefs are, you know, those are some areas that I've really worked hard on self-reflection and self-awareness.
Yeah, I think that's such a huge takeaway from all of this, Damon, is to reflect, right? I mean, you know, we can't just be operating and just doing the stuff and things. That's the easy part of do the stuff and things, the big gigantic to-do list all of us have every single day. But to really be an authentic leader means that we're stopping and pausing and we're thinking about, okay, like, where am I at emotionally with this stuff? How much am I involving my team? How transparent am I being? Am I letting people know how decisions are being made? Am I updating people on progress? Am I sharing the story across the organization? All of that stuff. I mean, those are the ingredients of authentic leadership, but it can be, I think it's easy for people to fall into that trap of just like, just doing the stuff and things, kind of the mechanical doing the work that we do. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just is a different style of leadership. And I think it's not the style of leadership that a lot of, especially thinking about kind of our younger generations that are coming into the work world, I don't think that that's what they're expecting. I think they're expecting authentic leadership, right? So, I mean, there's a whole generational component to this as well.
I couldn't agree more. And as we're about to wrap up now, Mickey, any final words on the topic or an action you'd like our listeners to take?
Yeah, I mean, the big call to action I would have to you, and this might feel a little bit awkward when you first do it, but I always tell people to name out loud your authentic leadership, like what you're doing. And what I mean by that is like saying things like, I want to make sure that everybody knows how I'm making this decision, or it's really important to me that I'm sending these regular progress reports so that it's transparent to everybody of the success and struggles of the organization, right? Naming the behaviors that are the things that, you know, not just doing those things, but naming them. I think, again, that's deposits in the trust bank for folks of like, okay, you're being intentional about this. And it's not just this kind of afterthought to you. I think it's the intentional component. And so I would encourage people to name those behaviors out loud as you are living your life as an authentic leader.
Awesome. And really quickly, can you go through the four steps again?
Yeah, absolutely. So those big four steps start first with emotional intelligence. The most important piece is being aware of ourselves in relationship to becoming more empathetic and understanding of other people. The second piece is this idea of relational transparency. And so what are we doing to be transparent about how we're making decisions, how progress is happening, being vulnerable with people about mistake making, things of that sort. The third piece, the big one here, is living your values. So making sure that you have alignment between your actions and your values, essentially living with or acting with integrity. And then the last one of the four is balanced decision making. And so letting people know kind of these are how decisions are going to be made, but also just not doing snap decision making. Again, this kind of comes back to our emotional awareness.
Mickey, this has been awesome. And so to kind of recap what we talked about, the importance of being a authentic leader. And we like to say a learn-it-all leader versus a know-it-all leader. We talked about our four steps, which you just shared with us again, and really how authentic leaders build trust, which is so critically important, that you can be vulnerable and confident at the same time, and the importance of transparency and how important that is so you can close the information gap. I think your team will really appreciate that. So listeners, until next time, can you please do us a big favor? If you got value out of this episode, please rate and like this and subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you're watching this and share with your friends. It really helps get the word out. And until next time, please stay curious and keep growing. Have a great day, everyone.
Self-awareness is one of those ambiguous sort of terms. When I say self-awareness, what we're going to be talking about is this idea of kind of recognizing and understanding our own emotions and being aware of like, who am I? How am I? How do I feel? How am I behaving? Where am I contributing? How does my meaning and purpose fit together? Essentially, it's kind of mindfulness in some ways, but minus the, you know, kind of meditation practice sort of stuff. And that's what we're going to be focusing on, is kind of understanding what drives you and being aware of those pieces.